from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called him Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his most holy word, beloved.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the Word of God. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's go to the Lord and let's continue to worship. Let's worship in prayer. Father, thank you so much for allowing the privilege of worship. Father, we are reminded that that worship takes place because of your love and the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jesus. We pray now, Father, that our focus is upon the work that you do in the lives of people. And God, as we look at this scripture this morning, we need your help. We ask the help of the Holy Spirit to keep us focused on this truth, to guard our hearts and minds, and to give us understanding as we look at your word this morning. We look forward to what you will do with it in our lives this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're in a sermon series right now that I have entitled, They Trusted God. And the proposition of these sermons is that God is always working to move His people to trust Him. We've already looked at several examples from the Word of God of people who have trusted God. Think about it just for a moment. We've looked so far at Abraham. And we learn from Abraham that we can trust God in a time of testing. We looked at the people of Israel at the Red Sea, and we learned that when we trust God, it greatly glorifies Him. And we looked at David, and we learned that we can trust God when we face the giants in our lives. And brothers and sisters, we all face giants. I'd like to continue this morning, and I'd like to do it in a little bit different way, looking at the context of where we are in our worship to God through Jesus Christ. So we'll continue to look at how people trusted God and how God worked in their lives to bring that trust, but we want to center it around the birth of Jesus Christ. So let's see for ourselves how God worked in the lives of specific people who were connected with the birth of Jesus. The first person we want to look at this morning is Joseph, the husband of Mary. And from Joseph, we will learn how to trust God when God changes our plans. When I began to look at the scripture, and I began to gather material together from the Word of God for this study this morning, I found out very quickly there's not much material. The Word of God doesn't say a whole lot about Joseph. I think I counted about 9 separate references to Joseph in the New Testament, and there's not a lot of information there. Outside sources were also very limited. The Word of God just doesn't say a lot about Joseph. But when I put together what the Word of God does say, there seem to be about 3 main truths about Joseph, and those 3 main truths will be our focus this morning in our study. Brothers and sisters, we can learn from Joseph, and we can especially learn how to trust God when God changes our plans. So let's look at these truths this morning, and let's do it by asking some questions about Joseph. Here's the first question. Well, who is Joseph? Who is Joseph? Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Matthew writes and he says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." Look at that phrase in that statement. Joseph, her husband, being a just man. The word just here means righteous. In other words, Joseph was a righteous man. Simply means that he did what was right. He followed God's moral law. He wasn't sinless. He wasn't perfect. I guess in our language today, you could say that Joseph was a good man. And we'll say more about this later, but I'd like to build upon this truth. As a young man, and see, I would take the position that Joseph was a young man. These things that were taking place in his life took place when he was a young man. And yet we see that he was committed to living right and doing right. In other words, he had a sense of direction. He had a sense of purpose. Joseph had a plan for his life. Now, what did this plan look like? Well, first of all, I would say to you, based upon the scriptures, that Joseph was a carpenter by trade. Hold your place there in Matthew chapter 1 and go to Matthew chapter 13 and look with me at verse 55. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Now the Jews are identifying Jesus here and they say this, "Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas?" The first statement's important to us. Is this not the carpenter's son? It's a simple statement, and yet I think that it's something to think about this morning, that Joseph was known by his occupation. Is not this the carpenter's son? Joseph was a carpenter. Now, I think we need to be careful here because we often think of that word or think of a carpenter in our culture or in our society or in our time. We think about these skilled craftsmen that we call carpenters, but yet it might be best to think of Joseph as a builder, a worker with wood, a construction laborer. He was not a professional. It was not a prestigious position in the culture of that day. As a matter of fact, I would say to you, it was a low-paying position. As a matter of fact, folks, we see from the Word of God that Joseph was considered to be a poor man. How do we know this? Hold your place in Matthew and go to Luke chapter 2, and we'll be going back and forth from Matthew 1 and Luke 2. Go to Luke chapter 2. And look at verse 24, Luke chapter 2, verse 24. The context of that passage is this, that Joseph and Mary have come to the temple to present the child Jesus to the Lord, and to redeem him, they would give an offering. This was what the law stated. They would give an offering. And notice Luke chapter 2, verse 24. It says, "And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons." You see, they didn't bring a lamb for an offering. They didn't bring sheep for an offering, but they brought or could bring two small birds. And the law of God made provision for people who had very little, that they too could bring an offering. This was an offering that was permitted for poor people. I step back and I think about Joseph, even with this first truth that Joseph was a carpenter, a low-paying position. Joseph was considered to be poor, but I step back and I think to myself, what stands out to me is this man works. He's a worker. He's even known as a worker. He's a carpenter. It wasn't a powerful position. It wasn't a privileged occupation, but Joseph was a worker. And folks, this is what righteous men do. They work. This is what responsible men do. They work. And even though he was a descendant of King David, he was an ordinary man with an ordinary job, but he was faithful to do it. He was known as the carpenter. This is how he trusted God. Let me give you a second truth about Joseph. Joseph had a relationship with God. And folks, this is what it means to be a righteous man. This is what it means to live right. He desired to worship God. He desired to obey God. In other words, God was a reality in Joseph's life. His relationship with God moved him to act and to live in a very certain way. And we see this in great detail. Go back to Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 22. Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 22. Now when the days of her purification, that's Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses was completed, they brought him, that's Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. What I want you to see here is this, that Joseph was leading his family in obedience to the Lord. They were following the requirements of the law. Look at verse 39, Luke chapter 2, verse 39. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Notice that they performed all things according to the law of the Lord. And again, this gives us a little glimpse into the heart of Joseph. He's leading his family. He desires to honor God through this obedience. Joseph knew God and he lived in devotion to God. Look at verse 41. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Luke writes and he says, his parents, that's Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So every year they went to Jerusalem. And folks, this was beyond the common practice. The rabbis of that day had discarded the Old Testament rule that required a Jewish man to attend three annual feasts in Jerusalem. In Joseph's day, a man had to attend only one of those feasts, and if he lived a certain distance from Jerusalem, he only had to attend once in his lifetime. And yet Luke tells us here, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of Passover. Joseph came every year and he brought his family. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. This is talking about Jesus. And it says, so he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Notice, it was Jesus' custom to come to the synagogue on the Sabbath. Folks, where do you think that Jesus got this custom? See, these things are usually developed in childhood, and folks, I believe that Joseph brought his wife and children to the synagogue every week. He worshiped God. All of this, you put all of this together, and this is evidence of Joseph's trust in God. He was a righteous man. He did what was right. There's another truth I would share about Joseph. Joseph was engaged to a peasant girl. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And again, we'll be going back and forth from Matthew 1 and Luke chapter 2. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph." Very familiar words. We read them all the time this time of year. Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Luke writes and he says, "Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child." You see that word betrothed, that's important. We look at these texts and we look at these statements before us, and folks, there's nothing in any of these texts to indicate that Mary was anything but a poor peasant girl. And we don't have a lot of detail about that. But she had no more resources than Joseph. She had no more status than her own character. Think about this word betrothed, or this betrothal that the scripture writers speak about. They were engaged, is what it means, but the engagement was much more than what we think about today. Because in first century Judaism, the engagement or the betrothal was a binding legal agreement. It was actually the first step in marriage. And when a person was engaged or when a person was betrothed in those days, they were heading to the final steps of marriage. They were moving together toward marriage. This engagement period lasted about a year, and then the marriage was consummated at the end of that time. And this engagement agreement could be broken by unfaithfulness, and it could be terminated by annulment. Again, look at verse 18, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. "After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child." What I want you to see here is that Joseph honored the betrothal. Joseph honored and respected Mary. That phrase, "before they came together," means that there was no physical intimacy. And folks, this was the right thing to do. Joseph was a righteous man. And this is what a righteous man and a righteous woman will do. Now here's my whole point. Joseph was an ordinary man of very humble means. The scripture says he was a just man. He was a righteous man. He did the right thing. And he worked and he worshiped and he was getting a wife and he waited. And Joseph did what righteous men do. And all of this shows that Joseph was trusting God. But God is working in Joseph's life and God is moving in Joseph's life to increase Joseph's trust in God and Joseph's faith in God. So notice now a second truth about Joseph, but it's really about God. Here's the second question. What is God's plan for Joseph? See, folks, God has His own way of changing our plans. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever experienced going one way according to your own plan and suddenly God changes that plan? Well, Joseph's life was moving in one direction according to Joseph's plan. And brothers and sisters, it was a good plan. There was nothing wrong with Joseph's plan. And Matthew chapter 1 verse 16 says that Joseph's father's name was Jacob. And when I read that, as I was reading all these passages, I thought this: if I was Jacob, if I was Joseph's father and I was Jacob, I would look at my son Joseph and I would say, "I praise God for you, son. I'm proud of you, son, because you love God and you're a hard worker and you've got a good little woman to be your wife. I'm proud of you, son." But just like that, his life changed. Look again at verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew says, she was found with child. Mary's pregnant. And brothers and sisters, you have to try to put yourself in Joseph's place. I mean, it's like his world. He has this plan. He has this purpose. He's moving toward this, and he's working toward this, and suddenly, it's like his world comes crashing down around his ears. His plan and his purpose and his dreams are now shattered. Mary is pregnant, and Joseph knows that this baby is not his. And he has guarded himself, and he has guarded Mary. He was a righteous man. He was a just man. And Mary is even telling him that this is the work of God, and that God did this. Can you imagine it? And Joseph's only conclusion is that Mary has been unfaithful. And no doubt this hurts Joseph deeply. He knows that God takes marriage seriously and God wants purity. And since he had not yet consummated their marriage, and since he wanted a holy wife, that was a part of his plan, a desire for a wife who loved God and a wife who would live in righteousness according to the law, then Joseph could terminate this betrothal. The law would allow that. The marriage was not final. He could terminate this betrothal. You see, folks, he held God's moral law above his own feelings. Look at verse 19. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a righteous man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. See, I think that Joseph loved God. And I think that Joseph loved Mary. And this, brothers and sisters, is the test of his life. This is how God will reveal Joseph's heart. In his mind, Mary had sinned against God and sinned against himself. And so how will Joseph respond? He will honor God, and he will care for Mary. And instead of a public proceeding that will end the engagement, he will now put her away privately. No paybacks against Mary and no revenge against Mary, but he would honor God, and he would love and he would care for Mary. And perhaps, we don't see this in the Scripture, sometimes our minds can wander a bit, but perhaps we can hear Joseph. Mary, why? Why did this happen, Mary? Our lives are now turned upside down. Or perhaps, why, God? Why? Why did you let this happen, God? And yet, folks, as we look at the Scripture, God is revealing Joseph's heart. God is working to remove any trust that Joseph has in himself. God is putting Joseph on a pathway of love for God and love for others that will go on for years and which will actually impact the whole world. You see, folks, God's plan is different than Joseph's plan. And there'll be pain, and there'll be suffering, and there'll be shame, and there'll be also the greatest privilege that a man and woman could ever experience. Joseph and Mary will be the human father and mother of Messiah. God's plan is something else, isn't it? And then notice there's a third truth that shows us how that Joseph is trusting God. And here's the question, Well, how does Joseph respond? How does he respond? Well, God reveals to Joseph in a dream the truth about Mary. Look at verses 20 and 21. Matthew 1, verses 20 and 21. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now we see Joseph's response to God's revelation in verse 24. Look at verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What I want you to see here is that Joseph is trusting God. God has changed his life, and God has changed Joseph's plans, and God is working out his plan and purpose, and Joseph is trusting God. Joseph is obeying God, and this trust through obedience will not be easy. This culture is not tolerant of having a baby outside of marriage, and Mary's pregnancy will generate lots and lots of condemnation and gossip. But God picked a man who would stand with God and with Mary. And brothers and sisters, this was not just one time of obedience. Actually, four times Joseph responded obediently when God told him to do something. And folks, his obedience always pushed against common sense and human reason. Here in Matthew chapter 1, the angel of the Lord revealed the truth about Mary and the baby, and Joseph responded. He obeyed. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Matthew writes and says, Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Do you see that? God, through the angel of the Lord, said, you need to leave and you need to go to Egypt. And Joseph didn't say why he went. We see this immediate response. He took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. In other words, he packed up the family and he moved to Egypt because of Herod in obedience to the word of God. Joseph obeyed God. He trusted God. And brothers and sisters, this is not an easy move. This is not like jumping in the minivan and going to Des Moines for an hour and a half or a two-hour trip. This is going 200 miles to Egypt by foot, putting all your possessions on an animal. And God said to do it, and Joseph did it. Look at verses 19 and 21. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And so God, through the angel, told Joseph to move back to Israel. And he packed up the family and he moved back to the land of Israel. Joseph obeyed God. And folks, this is trusting God. Look at verse 22. Matthew 2, 22. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And so God warned Joseph about the son of Herod ruling in Judah. And therefore Joseph went to the region of Galilee and Nazareth. You know, when I was reading these passages, I thought to myself, you know, if I was Joseph, I would not have gone to sleep. I would not even take a nap, because every time that he went to sleep or every time that he closed his eyes, the angel of the Lord would speak to him and he'd have to pack up the family and leave. And yet, he obeyed God. He trusted God. Obedience then was the pattern of Joseph's life. It was not easy. It was not convenient. I would submit to you that it was hard and it was difficult. And it was Joseph's way of life because Joseph trusted God. And folks, I also believe that obedience and trust in God was evidenced by Joseph's responsibility as a father. Think about this for a moment. Joseph was Jesus' human stepfather. It was Joseph who loved Jesus and raised Jesus and taught Jesus and nurtured Jesus and trained Jesus. It's really amazing when those words come out of my mouth to think that God gave this man this responsibility to raise up the Son of God. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. Luke writes and he says, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Look at verses 51 and 52. "And then he went down with them," he being Jesus, "the them is his parents, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them." That's an amazing statement, isn't it? That the Son of God, the God-man, was subject to who? To his parents. "They came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." Think about this just for a moment, folks. Here was a sinful human father raising a sinless divine Son. Here was an imperfect father rearing and raising a perfect son. I say this with all love and respect, we'll never experience that. But Joseph did. Joseph did. There's only one way that Joseph could do this. He obeyed God. He trusted God. And Joseph was a part of God's plan to present the Messiah to the world as Savior. Brothers and sisters, God is always working to move His people to trust Him. You know, there's a lot to learn from Joseph. God will change our plans. God will change our direction. And when God does it, we can and we must trust Him. Let's bow our heads. Bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for these scriptures that describe Joseph. God, we need these truths. Thank you. It amazes us to think about it and consider how you brought your son into the world. It truly astounds us when we think about the people that you used, just regular, normal people. And God, it truly lifts us up to think that you would continue today to use people to accomplish your purpose. Help us, Father, even as we think of our own lives, to respond to you in trust and obedience when you change our plans. Thank you, God, for these truths. Work in our hearts now, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.